For our scriptures today, would you please open your Bibles to Psalm 91. We'll also be referring extensively to the previous Psalm, Psalm 90, so have that ready as well. Reading now from Psalm 91, we have God's word as follows. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. And they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon you shall trample under feet. And because He hath set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. As far as the reading of God's holy word, may He bless it to our lives and to our spiritual understanding today. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to fully understand the meaning of this psalm, we have to see it in its historical context. This psalm is generally regarded as a companion to the previous psalm, to Psalm 90, both of which are thought to be written by Moses. And the specific historical background appears to be the final 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, when the generation that was adult on leaving Egypt was rapidly dying off as a punishment for their stubborn refusal to trust that God would give them, that He would bring them and give them the land of Canaan, in spite of that pessimistic report of the 10 spies. Now, Moses, their faithful leader, was feeling more and more isolated and alone as his fellow Israelites eventually all died off and left their bones in the wilderness. However, Moses was in an excellent position to perceive the swift moving story of the whole human race. He was God's prophet who had been graciously preserved by God, as is recorded in the closing chapter of Deuteronomy, what we know of as the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. In the closing chapter of Deuteronomy, we read, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Deuteronomy 34:7. And so, you see, Moses understood the timeless quality of the sovereign and holy God. And so he writes, Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You turn men to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's gone. Like a watch in the night. So we read the opening verses of the previous Psalm, Psalm 9. And so, you see, Moses saw firsthand the insignificance of man and their desperate need. That it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. So he goes on to say, you carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it's cut down and withers. For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all of our days are passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. Now the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and fly away. Psalm 90, verses 5 through 11. And you know, that stirred Moses. That stirred Moses to pray. To pray that the new generation would have learned its lesson. And henceforth the eternal freshness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the very joy and beauty of the Lord, that would be acknowledged by them. And that it would characterize all of the upcoming generations of the children of the Lord. And so he prays these words. So teach us. Teach us to number our days. That we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. Will satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Have you prayed that? You prayed that with your children in mind? Satisfy us early on your blessed promises. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of our God be upon us. And establish the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands established by it. And so ends the Psalm. And now the stage is set for Psalm 91. What must be the security and comfort of this new generation of God's people? The answer is to live in intimate fellowship with the Lord. In this psalm, Moses is elaborating upon what he had already written earlier in the Pentateuch, in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, where we read, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And remember this. Moses is not speaking here of the future estate of the redeemed in glory. He's not telling us what shall be, but what is true right now. How we should live in every generation, every century, every millennium. How God's children need a refuge and a fortress to shelter them now. So he begins. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. and the blessings. The blessings promised here are for those then who live in close fellowship with God. Into that secret place, those only come who love God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those only dwell there for whom to live is Christ. Because you see, for them, the veil is rent. The mercy seat is revealed. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life to the Father. The Gospel of John tells us. Those who thus commune with God are safe in Him. No evil can conquer them, for the outstretched wings of His power and love protect them. Protect them from all harm. No evil can conquer them. No one is able. So again, the Gospel of John teaches us, no one is able to pluck them out of the Heavenly Father's hand. John 10:29. And the Almighty is where His shadow is. And so communion with God is safety. And to be able to say, He is my refuge, that's the highest confidence and comfort that one can possess. You know, today men are willing enough to proclaim their doubts, even boast of them. Nowadays, when there are those pretenders, skeptics, who glory in casting suspicion on everything, it becomes the duty of every believer to speak out. Let those skeptics say what they will, but let believers say, let you and I say, God is my refuge, my fortress. And beloved, what believers say must be proved by their actions. You know, too often we say that, yeah, the Lord is our refuge, but we depend on the arm of the flesh. We use the Lord as a last resort after everything else fails. The Lord, beloved, the Lord must be our refuge and shelter in life, day by day, if He is to be our refuge in death. When we are secure in the Lord day by day, we can rejoice. We can rejoice that our position is unassailable, for He is our fortress as well as our refuge. You know, as if it were not enough to call the Lord His refuge and His fortress, Moses asked, "My God, in Him will I trust." My God means all and more than all that a heart can conceive by way of security and comfort. So, beloved, let's pray constantly for the grace to say, in Him I will trust. Amen. Surely, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So He goes on in this song. You know, we are foolish and weak like poor little birds. And very, very, very apt to be lured to destruction by cunning foes like the fowler's snare. You know, if we dwell near to God, He will see to it that the most skillful deceiver shall not entrap us. He can deliver us from spiritual blindness, from the deadly pestilence of error. If we are safe, beloved, we are safe if we dwell in communion with with the God of truth. When His Word, which is truth, alone truth, when His Word is our shield and buckler and a lamp to our feet and a light upon our pathway, we will not go wrong. Now, we will not always be delivered from physical disease and finally death, which we know are the wages of sin. But these things will not in the end conquer us if God is our refuge. And we dwell with Him. We dwell close to Him. Remember the words of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. If God is our refuge and strength, then death becomes only a dying unto sin, as our catechism so beautifully puts it. Our death becomes only a dying to sin and an entrance into eternal life. That's why the Christian still dies. Death only a dying to sin and an entrance into eternal life, where we will dwell even much more closely to God than we ever did in this earthly life. In the meantime, He shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wings, you shall find the refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now here is beautiful imagery which God Himself inspired Moses to use. You see there the tender love that God has for His own. Even as a hen covers her chicks, so the Lord protects the souls which dwell in Him. And we can cower down beneath Him for comfort and for safety. Hawks in the sky, snares in the field are equally harmless when one nestles that close, that near to the Lord. And so Moses goes on, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lies waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you see, and shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. You know, as we read these words, it appears that Moses here is thinking of or is reminded of the former plagues. The former plagues that hounded them both before their wilderness wanderings and also during those wanderings. They were surrounded by all kinds of enemies. Day has its dangers as well as night. Deadly arrows fly noiselessly through the air. But again, Moses urges his readers to dwell under the shadow of the Lord, where none of these arrows can harm them. Days of horror, nights of terror, that's for an unbeliever. Famine may starve. Fires of bloody battles may devour. Earthquakes may overturn. Tempests may smite. Terrors may strike. Satan will shoot his fiery doubts, or his fiery arrows of doubt and temptation. His quiver may be empty. But if God's truth is your shield and buckler, be confident that you will not be injured by His craft and His cruelty. The believer spends his days and nights alike with God, and they pass in blessed quietness. Blessed quietness. And this peace, this comfort, is not a thing of times and seasons. It does not rise or set with the sun, nor does it depend upon the healthiness of the atmosphere or the security of our country. Yeah, pestilence. Pestilence walks in darkness. But remember, the child of God dwells in the light. Destruction wastes at noonday, but upon the child of God, another sun has risen with beams bringing healing and restoration. The sun of righteousness, the light of the world. Remember, again, beloved, remember the voice which says, "You shall not be afraid," is God Himself speaking, who promises safety to those who abide under the shadow of His wing. And not only their safety, but peace and comfort as well. We read on, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." Impossible that any evil should happen to the man who has made the Lord his refuge and the Most High his habitation. The most crushing of plagues, of calamities, can only shorten his journey and hasten him on to his reward. That's the perspective we need. Ill to him is only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Sickness, like a medicine. Reproach and honor. Death, his gain. Isn't that what we're told? No evil, then, in the real sense of that word, can happen to the believer. For everything else is overruled for his good. All things work together for good to those who love God. And he's protected. He's protected. "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Remember that. You know, Satan quoted these words when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Matthew 4, verse 6. "Shall give his angels, those blessed and powerful and watchful spirits whom God has appointed to mind the affairs of this earth and to take care of the heirs of salvation." Yeah, that's true. His angels take care of you and me. We read in Hebrews 1:14 about these angels. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" How often do we have that in our mind, or do we remember that in our daily life? "Those angels shall keep you in all your ways." That is, in the whole course of your life and in all of your activities and undertakings. "Those angels shall keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands." Think of that. Sustain and uphold you in all your goings as one does a child or a weak person. Especially in uneven and dangerous paths. Carry you as on eagle's wings when it's necessary. Reminded of that song, I can't remember it all, but about this person who's a believer is walking along The Lord is there with him. He believes because he sees two sets of footprints in the sand. I think that's part of the song, if I remember right. And then all of a sudden, as he looks back, there's only one set of footprints. And he says, hey, what's going on? How come there's only one set of footprints? His own. The angel said, that's when I carried you. I don't know if I got it all right, but you get the idea. Lest you dash your foot against the sun, so as to hurt your foot or cause you to fall. That's all careful. Is God's care of you. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Now, what's that all about? The lion lie prostrate at your feet. You shall surely put your foot upon his neck. Well, in a figure and maybe Moses was having this thought in his mind too. In a figure, that is what the Israelites did to the necks of the Canaanite kings. We read in Joshua 10:4, and it came to pass when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all those men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Joshua 10:24. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. No lion, the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Well, Moses now closes this psalm. And he closes this psalm with God speaking of his own chosen ones. We read, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Set him on high. A high and safe place where no evil can reach you. With long life. Long life. Either in this world when it's expedient for service to God, for his glory, or for the next. Well, there's so many more things that could be said from this psalm. But let me conclude by just once more putting this psalm in its proper perspective, as I did at the beginning. The disobedient and faithless generation of Israelites had died off in the wilderness. Because of their faithlessness, this, of course, was the judgment of God. And now the next generation would soon enter the promised land. How are they to live? What must be their security and their comfort? What must be their faith if the judgment of God is not to fall upon them? And this psalm, the psalm that we've just gone through, Psalm 91, is the answer to these questions. It's the answer for them. It's the answer for us. Or, in the words of this familiar hymn, in sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thine own to keep me near thy side. To live apart from God is death. 'Tis good his face to see. My refuge is the living God, his praise, I long to speak. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we're thankful for these beautiful words. Wonderful words of life, words of comfort and strength for this psalm. We pray, O God, that, like many have done, we will put it to memory, that it may be hid in our hearts, that it may constantly and continually uphold us, comfort us, as we rest in you, our only refuge and strength. Hear our prayer again, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. This time you have the opportunity to worship the Lord with your gifts and all.